Good evening, everybody. So the topic I was given for tonight was all about Berov HaMadras Melech and different dinim that we find in connection with Mikra Megillah and other halachas, how there's a connection between some halachas we find here and halachas we find elsewhere. First part of this year, we're going to talk about the halachas of Berov HaMadras Melech. Is there an extra sheet there somewhere?
Right here.
Thank you. So first part, we'll talk about Berov HaMadras Melech and the different context in halacha where we find it. And the second part, we will discuss standing by different mitzvahs and what the definition of standing actually is, as we'll see when we continue. So first of all, Rav Asher Weiss likes to point out that we find three different sugyas that the concept of Berov HaMadras Melech actually comes up. And all three of them really mean three different ideas. They're not all exactly the same. Sugya number one that we find is in Pesachim Samach Daled Amud Beis. The Gemara says that every single year when Klal Yisrael was makriv the Karban Pesach, so they would be makriv it. There were millions of people being makriv Karban Pesach, so the Gemara tells us that the Kohanim would form a big line, and each person, the Kohen who was makabel the dam, would pass over the kli that had the dam in it to the next person, to the next person, to the next person. They would keep passing it on until finally the dam reached the Mizbeach. So that's what the Gemara tells us, and the reason for that being, as the Gemara states, is because Berov HaMadras Melech. So that, Rav Asher Weiss pointed out, that this is the first place that we find Berov HaMadras Melech in the context, that there's one mitzvah that has to be taken care of, right? The dam has to be brought from the Karbon to the Mizbeach. So in that context, when you have the dam that needs to be brought to the Mizbeach, many people should be involved in that Maisa HaMitzvah. It's not nice just for one person himself to do everything. He shouldn't hog the mitzvah himself. It's nicer that it should be spread apart by many different individuals doing it together. L'chara, there is room to discuss what's the story with that Gemara. In fact, Rashi writes in Parshas Ekev that the Pasuk says, "Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha yom tishmeru l'nasa." So Rashi writes over there, "Imischaltam a mitzvah gemara." So hamaskal mitzvah amr l'gemara. Person who begins a mitzvah is supposed to finish it. So why does the Gemara say over there that it's nicer? Berov HaMadras Melech tells us that each person should give it to the next, and I shouldn't finish it on my own. So the Mesillas Yesharim writes, what's this idea of Maskel Mitzvah Omer L'Gemar? What's the concept all about? So the Mesillas Yesharim says, the same way we have a concept of Zrizim Makdim L'Mitzvah, the Gemara tells us in Pesachim that we have a concept that a person is supposed to be Zaris when he begins doing a mitzvah, so to get the mitzvah off the ground, so too says the Mesillas Yesharim, once the mitzvah already begins, I should also be a Zaris and make sure that I finish it. I should try to do everything I can to show that I really care very much about this mitzvah, not toss it off to others.
But carrying this down the shelf is a mitzvah, no?
Right.
You know, the next mitzvah is...
Oh, meaning you're saying if I only carry it one step, am I mekayem a mitzvah already?
Yeah, why not? The next mitzvah is going to be the pouring of the dam. That's a separate one.
Ah, is that correct? Is Daddy? The halachas adam. Is that a mitzvah on its own, just one step?
It's an avodah.
It's not bringing it from the Karbon to the Mizbeach?
Yeah, it's part of it. Yeah. It's a long mitzvah, halacha sadam, all the way to the Mizbeach.
Right, but I would have assumed that
it should all be done by the same person.
The kasha probably still stands. You are doing a chelik of a mitzvah. Obviously, you have a chelik of a mitzvah, but why isn't it nicer for the one person to do it on his own based on the principle of maskel mitzvah omer l'gemar? In Hilchos Slichos, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Tavkuf Pei Aleph, that the person who's the chazan for slichos yispalo kol hayom. Why? So the mefarshim explain over there in Shulchan Aruch that it's because maskel mitzvah omer l'gemar. In fact, the Magen Avraham over there says that this concept is taken so seriously that we assume that that person is kodem even to an avel and even to a yartzeit. The person who daven slichos really has kedima because hamaskel mitzvah omer l'gemar. So I saw this week in the Binyan Shlomo, Reb Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna points out that he doesn't understand how do we put these two ideas in proper perspective. On the one hand, the Gemara tells us that Berov HaMadras Melech, we should try to have as many people involved in the mitzvah as we can and have the Kohanim keep passing on to the next, to the next, to the next, and finally get the dam to the Mizbeach. On the other hand, we know HaMaslam HaMitzvah Omer Mel Gemar, we try as much as we can to have one person finish up an avodah, to have one person finishing up a mitzvah on his own. So, I was thinking, there are those Mefarshim I saw in Chumash, there are those Mefarshim that say on this Pasuk, I just looked in the Chumash Svarim yesterday, there are those mefarshim, it sounds very wild to me, but there are those who say on that pasuk in Ekev, kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha yom tishmeru l'nasos, that kol ha-mitzvah is written b'lashon yachid. It should say kol ha-mitzvos, right? If it's going on everything, if it's trying to teach us that every single mitzvah that a person does, he should try to finish it, so it should say kol ha-mitzvos. Why does it say kol ha-mitzvah? So I saw the Maral Diskin writes in his Pirush on Chumash that he thinks it's only going on one specific mitzvah, on Ibud Avodah Zarah. If a person starts trying to get rid of all the Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael, so you should make sure Tzarech L'Shar Shachareh. The Gemara says you have to make sure you go and get out every single piece of Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. So Maral Diskin writes that he thinks this pasuk is only going on that one mitzvah, but it's not a concept that rose. It sounds like it's very wild, and it's connected to everything we all know. Matzlum mitzvah Omlo Gemara, as far as we're concerned, the Chayyadim writes about it in his Klalim on the mitzvahs. It seems that a matzlum mitzvah Omlo Gemara is a principle that we apply to every single mitzvah. Why is it that we say B'lashon Yachid here? Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzav chayam tishmur and lasos. Why is it B'lashon Yachid? So I saw in the Chumash Svarim, they write that a person should take a mitzvah so seriously that it should be like this is the only mitzvah in the world. How is a person supposed to push himself to make sure he finishes it? Because if he gives it such importance, if he shows such chashivas for it, like this is the only mitzvah for him in the world, then he will ensure that he will actually finish it. So that's the way they explain why it's written B'lashon Yachid. Bottom line, we have Reb Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna's Kasha on this first aspect of Berovam Hadras Melech. It's a little bit questionable. Why does the Gemara tell us that every single person should pass it on from one to the next to the next? Don't we have the concept of Hamaschal Mitzvah Omrim Lo Gemar? Okay, so that's our first marker that we have for Berovam Hadras Melech. If you look in the Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, which we have in the first of the sources here, so the Gemara there has a machlokas in a different context, which is talking about Hilchos Havdalah. So the Gemara over there has a discussion, a machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Hayyoshim V'Beis HaMedrash. Let's say everyone is sitting in the Beis Medrash together, V'Heviyu Ur Lifnehem. And now they bring the candle for Havdalah. So it says, Beis Shammai, Kol Echad Ve'Echad Mevarech La'atzmo. Each individual person should make the bracha on his own. And like this, I will make the bracha, I'll continue to learn, and I won't have to wait for everyone to get quiet and make the bracha together. Beis Hillel Omer, Beis Hillel says, no, Echad Mevarech L'Kula. It's better that one person, that a chazan should get up, make a bracha bari mari ha'esh on behalf of everybody in the room. Shanemar Berovam Hadras Melech. So Beis Hillel claims that because Berovam Hadras Melech is such a strong concept, we assume that one person should make for everybody. Says the Gemara, Bishleima Beis Hillel Mefarshi Taima. Beis Hillel says the reason why one person should make for everyone is because Berovam Hadras Melech. Ela Beis Shammai Mai Taima. What's the reason for Beis Shammai that he says each individual person should make the bracha bari mari ha'esh on his own? Says the Gemara, Kasavri Mipnei Bitul Beis HaMedrash. Beis Shammai feels that it's going to cause Bitul Torah. If I'm in the middle of learning and now we're going to have to quiet everyone down and wait till everyone's ready to make the bracha, that is going to cause some sort of Bitul Torah and it's not a good idea. So that's why Beis Shammai feels it's better each person should make quickly and privately on his own. So that's another place where the Gemara tells us Berovam Hadras Melech, and when you think about it, it seems that that context is really very different than the first example that we gave. That time, the Gemara is telling us Berovam Hadras Melech means if all of us have to do one mitzvah, all of us have to make Havdalah Matzah Shabbos, right, correct? All of us have to do any specific mitzvah, any given mitzvah that is munach on its tzibur. So the Gemara tells us that it's nicer for one person to do it on behalf of all of us. That's what the Gemara says over here. Berovam Hadras Melech means something very different. In fact, the Magen Avraham writes, based on this Gemara in Brachos, so the Magen Avraham says in Tafresh Peites, as well as in Tafresh Tzadi, Hilchos Purim, so he says, Mevatlin Talmud Torah, we know that even though we all learn in separate Batei Midrashim and everyone learns in their own house, so you would think maybe because of Bitul Torah I should read the Megillah on my own and I should not be mechuyev to go to shul where there's going to be 500 people in shul. What do I need that for? Says the Magen Avraham, no, because since we paskin like Beis Hillel, that when we all have a mitzvah that's incumbent upon everyone equally, you should have one person doing it on behalf of everybody. So over here also as well, when a person, even though he's learning in a nice, small, little Beis Medrash, and he has 5-6 people there, it's better for him to be Mevatel Torah and go to the big shul to be Mekayim, the Inyan of Berovam Hadras Melech. Based on this, the Mishnah Berurah actually writes in Hilchos Tefillah, Siman Sadi, that if you have a choice of two shuls where you should daven. So the Mishnah Berurah says, in one shul you have 500 people davening, in one shul you have a little shtibul with 20 people. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Berovam Hadras Melech is better. You should go to the shul that has more people. Why? Because he says, I mean, fitting into this context of Rav Hadras Melech, he says, when we're going to say Chazar Sashatz, which is a chiyuv that's mutal on the tzibur, we all have to do Chazar Sashatz, and one person's being motzi all of us, so in such a case, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Sadi that it's nicer that we should have many more people involved and being yotze with one individual chazan on all of our behalf. That's number two. Just want to point out an interesting ha'ara that the Minchas Chinuch says when it comes to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Leil HaSeder. So everybody has a chiv Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Leil HaSeder. So it says the Minchas Chinuch, you could be yotze with Shamea Ka'one. Generally, we have the practice, every person takes a Haggadah, follows along, says the words. Minchas Chinuch says, and others write it as well, if you look in the Maisa Rav, on the bottom of the Minchas Chinuch, they tell you to look in the Maisa Rav, that the Gra writes over there as well, that he thinks everyone could be yotze with Shamea Ka'one. Then they make another Ha'ara, and they say, and the Minchas Chinuch on the bottom, they point you to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Never would have looked there on my own, but if you look at the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he adds an extra line. He says it's even better that you should be yotze with Shamea Ka'one, and you shouldn't stay along on your own because of Berov Am Hadras Melech. That's what he adds here. That if a person is going to have a mitzvah that he's going to fulfill, and everyone in the room is mechuyev in the same mitzvah, so it's better to have the head of the household, it's better to have the most chashuv person at the table being mekayim the mitzvah on behalf of all of them because of Berov Am Hadras Melech. So this is category number two of Berov Am. Again, category number one that we have is every single person should try and have a little chelek of a big mitzvah. Category number two that we have is that everybody, if we all have a mitzvah that's equally incumbent upon us to be mekayim, we should try as much as we can to have one person be motzi all of us. And sugya number three that we find is the Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin. So the Gemara tells us over there that, yeah.
Slight deviation, but if there's an inyan berov hadras melech, if I don't do it, let's say it's like a bracha, does it become a bracha she'en tzricha?
Again, if one person, let's say, can make hamotzi for everyone at the table.
Yeah, so if I decide, let's go everybody's own thing, why would, is Brahma Hashem not strong enough of a concept to override that? To make it not a
There's a difference between Berachos Nehenin and Berachos HaMitzvah. Berachos Nehenin, it's not a mitzvah. If everyone has apples, you have to someone to stand up and make a bracha.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, Berachos HaMitzvah, when it's a mitzvah, then what happens, it would be the more Berov Am Hadras Melech.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts? I don't know.
Let's say instead of, by the Hasidim, instead of one person saying Kiddush for the whole family, they have 10 boys, each boy says his own Kiddush. So the Vilna Gaon complains, he says that they're losing Berov Am Hadras Melech. I don't think it's a brachah shen tzvicha. Because if one would say the Kiddush and everybody would be yotze with Shemir Kaina, Apidin is considered as if everybody said the Kiddush also. Shamea Ke'oin, as if you said it. But if you have one person say for everybody, so then it's Beroivom. Everybody said, but anyway, it's considered as if every single person said the Kiddush. So I don't think it's going to be a Bracha Shein Tzvicha. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's considered as if you had the father and the 10 sons and the 10 daughters and the wife. 22 people said the Kiddush. Apidin, all 22 said the Kiddush.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so now number three, the third category of Berov Am Hadras Melech is in the Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin. So the Gemara records over there the story about on Yom Kippur. So just to visualize for ourselves, picture in your mind what was going on. You have millions of people coming to watch the Avodah on Yom Kippur. Like we know, it was a beautiful sight. You have millions of people coming to watch the Avodah on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara says over there that the Kohen Gadol used to read certain psukim, certain parshiyos in the Torah in front of everybody. So says the Gemara, he should try and do it in front of Kol Ha'am de Ma'azara, he should try to do it in front of all of Klal Yisrael who was watching him, in order that it should be done Berov Am Hadras Melech. So there are those Achronim who point out there, it's a big discussion, but it seems that, I saw in the Gvuras Ari yesterday, that it seems that it's a big discussion whether this is a mitzvah that the whole tzibur should be listening, or this is just a private mitzvah that the Kohen Gadol himself does. If you learn that it's just a private mitzvah that the Kohen Gadol does, so that's a very interesting idea that we have here. We have a person who individually has a specific mitzvah that he must fulfill. And there the Gemara says, it's nice to be mekayim my mitzvah in front of a big crowd. That's a third time where we find a different, very different idea, very different application of the same Berov Am Hadras Melech, but it means something totally different. It means, when I have a personal chiyuv that I have to do, it's nice to do my chiyuv in front of many other people. So they point out as well, that when they did the mitzvahs Katsiras HaOmer, even though one person was cutting it down, they used to try to get a big crowd to come. Everyone should watch. It would be a big spectacle because Berov Am Hadras Melech. It's nice to do things in front of a big crowd of people. It makes the mitzvah a little bit more mehudr. So when you look in the Ramban, Chosh HaMishpat, so we have a big discussion about what is the story if a person, let's say, is part of a big shul where they have 500 people attending every Shabbos. And we decide that we want to make a small shtibl. a whole group of people decides we want to make a small shtibel, we don't want to be a part of the big shul anymore. So do we assume that one has the right to do that? Or should we say, no, what right do you have to do that? Don't we know? Beravam hadras melech is a very important idea in halacha. And if you're going to break off and have 100 people leaving our big shul, so now we're no longer going to have the rovam that we used to have. So if you look in the Ramah Chasha Mishpat, that's number two. So the Ramah Hilchos Shutfim Bekarka writes, in Siman Kuf Samach Beisiv Zayin, Shem Rotzim Livnos Lehem Beis HaKnesses Acher. Ramah says, if they want to build another Beis HaKnesses, O Yechidim HaBoim Livnos Lehem Beis HaKnesses. Or you have a bunch of new people who move into the neighborhood, and they decide, we don't like any of the other shuls, just conceptually, they don't like the other shuls, and they want to build their own shul. So says the Ramah, surprisingly, Ein ha'acherim yecholim limchos biyadam. We, as the big shul, the 500-person shul, is not allowed to stop the small group of people that wants to make their own shul. V'amocha roi l'nazifa. Says the Ramah, one who gets in the way of starting a new shul is roi l'nazifa. Okay, he's quoting a Rivash. He says he doesn't think it's a proper thing to stop this small group of people from building their own shul. So if you look in the Magen Avraham, in Hilchos Tefillah, Magen Avraham is not very happy with this. He quotes a tshuva from Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrachi, and he says, what do you mean? Hamocha roi l'nazifa? I'm doing wrong for stopping them from building a shtibel. They're doing wrong from taking away from our Rav HaMadras Melech. We used to have 500 people in our shul davening consistently. Every Shabbos they would come, and it would always be a big scene here. Now they're going to make a breakaway shtibel. We're going to have less people. They're in the wrong. So that's what the Magen Avraham feels, that it's improper for them to break away, and we should do everything we can to stop them from building a breakaway shul if it's not for a good reason. If you look in the later Tshuva Svarim, Siddur Chasam Sofer writes, obviously this is provided that everything is equal in both shuls. However, says the Chasam Sofer, let's say, if you look inside, the Chasam Sofer says in Amar Gimel, Yesh Pir Levavos Beneim, let's say there's a big machlokes. I can't sit on this bench because I hate that guy. He can't sit next to him because he hates him. So there's a big problem in the shul, a lot of fighting. So the Chasam Sofer says, obviously if that's the case, and I can't be mechavin because the whole davening I'm busy worrying about the person I hate who came to sit on my bench, or my next door neighbor who I can't stand who sits here also. So in that type of case, the Chasam Sofer says, obviously it's better that the two groups should split and make their own shuls because they're not having kavana anyway. If you look in the Chayi Adam says that if in one shul there's a lot of talking, and one shul is a lot of Lashon Hara, and there's terrible things going on in the middle of davening, people are talking during Kaddish Kedusha, so he says, obviously that would follow the Chasam Sofer's klal, that if not all factors are equal, obviously this small group of the tzibur that wants to break away has every right to do that, and we should not stop them. Fine, so that's with regard to the Rova Madras Malach and breaking apart a shul. There is... What do you mean? He says, "In Rotzim Livnos Lehem Beis HaKnesses Acher, or Yechidim Abam Livnos Lehem Beis HaKnesses, Ein Acher Micholim Limchos Biyadam." We can't stop them. What?
The first shul is so big.
How was that?
You get that 500 that the first shul is so big.
Fine. So there's 100 people. I'm exaggerating.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's the difference of 500 people and 20 people want to break away, and there's 80 people
at home. I mean, it's the same concept. It's the same concept that you're not going to have Rav Hadras Melech like you used to.
But there's the issue of financial impairment.
What?
Financial impairment that now we're going to have to support two shuls. Okay, that's a more political issue, it sounds like.
It may not be political, maybe financial.
Okay. All right, that's our need shul presidents. Okay, so the Stechemed raises a very interesting issue, and that is the following. What happens when you have a conflict between Beravam Hadras Melech and something else? For example, and this is a very common example, what happens when you have a bris milah? Right? So you're going to make a bris after the 6:30 minyan. How many people are possibly going to show up to a bris after the 6:30 minyan? Imagine if I made the bris on a Sunday morning after the 9 o'clock minyan. I'll probably have a much larger crowd. So maybe I should say that because of the idea of Beravam Hadras Melech, we should forego the hider of Zrizim Makdim and Lemitzvahs. We all know there's a concept. The Gemara Msachim tells us about this in the first parak by Avraham Avinu. Vayashkem Avram Baboker, he was very careful to be as first to start the mitzvahs as early as possible. So we learn from Avraham Avinu, we're supposed to do the mitzvahs in as careful a fashion as we can and start them as early as possible. So, if I have a choice to make my bris milah after the 8:30 or 9 o'clock chakras, or I have the choice to make it after the vasikin. So what should I do? What should I do? Which one comes first? Should I say that Zrizim Akdim Lemitzvahs is more important, or Beravam Hadras Melech beats out. So they point out, the Stechemet points out from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, that it would seem clearly from the sugya that Zerizim Akdim and Lemitzvos comes before Rav Hadras Melech. That's a stronger consideration than Rav Hadras Melech. And look at the Stechemet inside, he writes as follows, Tzar li ala minig, says the Stechemet, I am very unhappy about this minig in many communities, ala nashim imkomos elu, shema achrim hamila ad karv l'chatziayom, ad she is kaptu hamzumanim. Says the Stechemet, there are those who have this practice, that they'll wait, they'll make a brunch, they'll wait to make the bris during lunch when everyone has off, and then they'll have a lot of people showing up to the bris. Ve'ein lahem amashi yismochu, says the Stechemet, he doesn't like that because they really don't have what to rely on. Kadesh yasa mitzvah beravam, that's not a good excuse to wait until chatzos hayom to do the bris just because I'm going to have a consideration of rovam, that is not a good idea. And the Aruch HaShulchan quotes this as well in Yerideya Hilchos Mila, that one should not be ma'achar a bris just for the purpose of rovam hadras melech. The reason makdim lemitzvahs would beat out.
How would that work in a situation as follows? If you're saying this reason my payment, then you should do it as close to Nates as possible. Exactly, as close to Nates as possible. And yet, I'm sure if you look around on Sunday brises, it's very rare, especially in the summertime, that you're going to have a bris at 5:30 in the morning.
So how do you draw the line? So, what do you say?
You're right that one of the rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael asked Rav Shlomo Zalman to be the son that got his bris. So he said, fine, okay, he agreed. And then he says he's going to daven basikin, and it's going to be 5 o'clock in the morning. So he said, you get yourself another Sunday. So he had a system, so he didn't want to disrupt his whole system.
Okay. And how do you decide that which is more important, Zrizim or Braiva? How do you make this decision?
I mean, the Gemara seems to prove it in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara proves it there, that Zerizim HaKdimin comes before Barov HaMadras Melech. I think the Raya was a little too complicated, we won't go through it, but basically the Gemara seems to say that Zerizim HaKdimin does beat out Barov HaMadras Melech. That being said, what? What, every day, every Shabbos?
Every Shabbos.
Okay. What? Right, Shabbos. I thought the Shulchan Aruch says you should wake up later because of what it says, baboker, baboker. Right.
He's saying 7 o'clock.
What?
He's saying 7 o'clock.
Right. Ah, okay. I don't know. I can't think like this. It's way too early for me. I just do remember at the time when Birchas Hachama came around a few years ago, so everyone was chazering over the same question. Also, is it nicer to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning at Nate's and go outside my house and make the Birchas Hachama because Rizim Akdim L'mitzvahs? Or do we say, no, everyone should daven in Shul, and after Shul, everyone will go outside and Barovam Hadras Melech will make the Bracha together. Remember at the time, everyone was printing Svarim on Birchas Hachama. This seemed to be a hot issue in every single one of the Svarim. So,
also, I heard mentioned Shir last week about the aspect that you have a day, when there's a bris and it's a day of Tzom, where you won't, that for convenience purposes, you do have the circumstance that sometimes the bris will be late in the afternoon and have been from Marv and Kajami, as is Iker Mitzvah relates also, is really related
to the Suda,
which is at night. So by having the bris later in the afternoon, and then Dabman from Marv right afterwards, having the Suda right there, instead of making people in Big Tirchah have to come back a second time, where it may not work in those circumstances.
Really?
It's too possible. Just mentioned it's definitely a mashup to that point.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Ever heard of that? Doing such a thing? I don't know. I thought some assume that is a...
It's very difficult in Israel to have a bris in the afternoon. I know you would never have.
Mm-hmm.
3 o'clock.
I think he said Tisha
B'Av. I don't know.
It was
not a regular sign.
I don't know if he said Tisha B'Av.
Even that is some.
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. So, let's just talk about... Let's just talk about an interesting thing. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, so I remember somebody asked the following question to Rabbi Yashiv at the time. We used to go there every so often. So I remember somebody asked the following question after davening one morning. So he said, "We're stuck with the following quandary. We don't know what to do. On the one hand, we're walking to shul in the morning. This used to happen in Eretz Yisrael all the time. Someone stops you on the street and says, 'Oh, we're having a minyan for a novel in the house. Please come. You know, don't daven in the shul.'" So on the one hand, I used to daven every day in the Mir Yeshiva, so there were 800 people at daven. I'm going to go into the Avil's house. He has a mini mitzimtzum. He's pulling people off the street to have 10 people. Or they pull you out to go daven in some nursing home, to go daven somewhere to help out a chayla who needs some help with a minion. So what's adif? On the one hand, I want to have a hiddur mitzvah. I want to have the Rav Hadras Melech. I'm more interested in having my minion with 800 people than to daven with a mini mitzimtzum in an Avil's house or in a nursing home. So what is the proper thing to do? So I remember at the time they had asked him, and he made some sort of joke that there's a sefer tefillah kol chasa, look inside, I already gave a psak on the shayla. That's what he said. So we later on looked it up, one of the guys that had the shayla, so we later on looked it up, and there he quotes that Rabbi Yashiv thought that the most proper thing to do is that you should go into the avil's home, or you should go into the nursing home, whatever, because chesed, he thought, beats out Rav Hadras Melech. He thought that chesed is a mitzvah daraisa, Rav Hadras Melech is a question if it's daraisa at all, where this concept actually comes from, whether it's just an asmachta or a nice hiddur mitzvah. But either way, he said, mitzvah of chesed is for sure a real mitzvah daraisa, it's bona fide, and therefore that would outweigh the consideration of giving up on the Rav Hadras Melech. So then he quoted on the in the Tefillah Kol Chasa, he quotes the Michtam of David, where he writes the following. I have that here in Hay. He writes exactly this shayla. He says, Tivur Shemaskibim. They said this was Rabbi Yashiv's. Rabbi Yashiv was Pashat the shayla from that Michtam LeDavid. He said, it's already Mefurish. What are you asking me the shayla? As if everyone reads the Michtam LeDavid. So he says, Hatzivur Maskimim Lispal Beis Avil. You have a Tzivur that's willing to go out of their way and daven in the Beis Avil. Velo Beis HaKnesses. Verotim Lasas Mitzvah Shog Mils Chasadim. Elo Demechish Chayshi Shematiya HaMitzvah Baba Avera Lahaniach Beis HaKnesses. They're concerned, maybe it's not right. Maybe I shouldn't give up on the opportunity to daven in shul with the Rav Hadras Melech, as opposed to going...
Then he won't have a mitzvah at all. Then you're depriving the avil of the mitzvah completely.
He won't daven with a minion at all.
He won't daven with a minion.
So that's the next point. So one second. First, he says, his first argument is, Lekabaha shum shemetz yisrach yisr klal. First of all, I see nothing wrong with it. For sure, you should go to the base of avil. To barovam eino ela hider mitzvah v'achesedi mitzvah gedolah midaraisa. Chesed is a very important mitzvah, v'ray levatel hider mitzvah v'makam chesed. Then he proves it secondly, like you're saying, he proves from the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Chanukah, where the Mishnah Berurah writes, I forgot to put it on here, the Mishnah Berurah says, in Siman Tav Reish Ayin Aleph, imagine you have a case where I have enough oil that I can light every single night of Chanukah. My next door neighbor doesn't have any candles for Chanukah, so I can be a nice guy and offer him some of my shemen or some of my candles that he'll be able to be mekayim a mitzvah also. But if I do that, I'm going to lose out on the hiddur mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Right? If I give away half of my candles, I'm not going to have enough candles to actually light with hiddur every single night. So the Mishnah Berurah poses this case and he asks, what should a person do when you have that type of scenario? One person is not going to be mekayim a mitzvah at all. Other person will be mekayim the full mitzvah with a hiddur, but if he gives up on a part of it, he'll be mekayim the mitzvah b'di'evet. Without all the hidurim, will be mekayim his mitzvah, and now the other neighbor will also be mekayim mitzvah b'di'evit. So what is the proper thing to do? Says the Mishnah Berurah in that case, in Taf Reish Ayin Aleph, the proper thing to do is to give up on the hidur mitzvah, and let my friend be mekayim his ikra mitzvah. Sounds very reasonable. Sounds like a very smart idea, that a person should be willing to give up on a little bit of his own, in order that the other person should be mekayim the mitzvah himself. So that's what you were arguing, that it's nice for me to go and be mashlim that minion, because this way the avil will at least daven with a minion. I'm losing out on the hiddur mitzvah of Ravam, but you see from that Mishnah Berurah exactly like you're saying, that a person should be willing to give up on a hiddur in order that someone else should be able to be mekayim a mitzvah even a little bit. Yeah?
Hey, I'll tell you what I heard from Simcha Wasserman. Along these lines, he was really talking about this mitzvah. He differentiated between whether the mitzvah needs you or you need the mitzvah. Rovam is a mitzvah, I would say you need that mitzvah. That individual, the mitzvah needed you, you had to go get ready, he needed a minion. That's the way he would differentiate.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear that concept? He did it by next mitzvah. Next mitzvah, the mitzvah needs you, so you have to leave your limud and you have to leave all the other things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that different from over here. Here's mm-hmm. the question of the mitzvah. That person needs you, that's your mitzvah. Or let's say that mitzvah needs you.
Right.
To go and fill that minion.
Mm-hmm.
Rovam Hadras Melech is very nice. You'd like to have it. It's a good mitzvah to have. Leave the Torah is a good mitzvah to have, but you don't have the luxury.
Okay. Interesting, yeah.
I remember seeing this, the shayla of a Kiddush Levana, that whether it's Rizus or Hiddur, the Hiddur is Mevusam, that's why you do it. Mm-hmm. You know, after Marav on Shabbos. It's mm-hmm. reason you should do it even before.
Right, so I thought that was a very strange case, because over there generally we do have the minute to wait.
That's exactly right.
Right.
So in other words, in that case, the Tehidah wins out over the Zerizis.
So you're saying it's Kenegad and Gemara and Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But the minute clearly is all over the world that we wait till Matzah Shabbos if possible.
Yeah, we heard
Maybe on Shabbos it'll be cloudy and you won't have a mitzvah at all. So this way you have a chance to do the mitzvah, you should do it right away.
And happen this way.
Right, right. But generally, if it says pretty clearly, I think the minhag generally is in our communities that if you have more than enough time, so generally we wait till after Shabbos when you're going to be wearing nice clothing and you'll be mevusam. So you're going to have a hiddur mitzvah on the one hand, but you're beating out this reason makdimin. So how do you put that in light with the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Beis, where the Gemara says that's reason outweighs the hiddur? I don't know, I wasn't sure what to do with that case. Sounds like a
obviously
very good time.
The minhag is that you do wait till after Mahar.
Right, so you're saying we should bring that over to all these different cases.
I don't know.
Right, suggesting. I don't know. I'll have to think about that case. Okay, so that's just about... that's about Baravam Hadras Melech.
What? That's
what
they rely on in Eretz Israel.
Okay. I mean, I assume also in America... most people are probably working at 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right, absolutely. Right.
See, no one's working. If you make a bris at 12 o'clock, less people are going to come.
No?
No
one's going to come.
In Eretz Yisrael, it seems that...
Sunday.
What?
Sunday's
yeah, in Eretz Yisrael, it seems a lot less people are working, so maybe they have more time to be around. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what the story is. Okay, so now for the part two of what we're going to discuss. I want to look at a Gemara in... Megillah, where the Gemara talks about the following. The Gemara says, we have a halacha by Mikra Megillah. The Gemara says on Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph and Mesachas Megillah, Hakorius HaMegillah Omed V'Yoshev. What does that mean? One is allowed to read Megillah's Esther in a standing position or in a sitting position. So the Pnei Yeshua on that Gemara points out that from Rashi it seems, and this is quoted in the Torah as well, Hilchos Megillah, that it would seem that this is even the Chathchila. It's not a B'diyevet to sit down. Seems very clearly, alpi halacha, that one is allowed to sit, even lechatchila, for the Mikra Megillah. Now, let's think about this for a minute, because if you look in the Beis Yosef Simen Ches, we've spoken about this in the past, the Beis Yosef says, when a person is making a birchas ha-mitzvah, most proper is for him to stand. So what would be the halacha here? The Gemara tells us one is allowed to sit, even lechatchila, it seems. The Torah quotes that in Simen Tav Reish Tzadi, one is allowed to even sit lechatchila for the Mikra Megillah. So if that is the case... what would be the halacha when it comes to the bracha on the Megillah? Should we follow the practice that we have by Megillah itself and everyone's allowed to sit? Or should we say, no, one should stand, just like the Beis Yosef writes, by every other birchas ha-mitzvah, that the most proper thing to do is to stand while making a birchas ha-mitzvah. So I saw yesterday that the Pnei Yeshua and the Sfasamas have a machlok is there in the Gemara, Megillah Chaf Aleph. Should a person stand for the bracha? Because it's like every other birchas ha-mitzvah, like the Beis Yosef says. Or should we say, no, Mikra Megillah is obviously an exception to the rule, and if I'm going to be sitting for the mitzvah itself, obviously I'm allowed to sit for the bracha as well. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah over there writes in Taf Reish Tzadi, which is the halachas that the Torah was quoting this also in. So the Mishnah Berurah writes over there that the more proper thing to do is to stand while making the bracha, like the Beis Yosef says, by all birchas ha-mitzvahs, but... for the Mikra Megillah itself, the Tzibur is allowed to sit. So over there in the Shaar HaTzion, he points out another thing to think about, that not only should the person who's making the bracha stand, the Shaar HaTzion points out that since we're all being yotze with Shamei HaKohanim, it's as if we're making the bracha ourselves, so the Shaar HaTzion points out we should all be careful to stand as well. I saw a very beautiful Ha'ara. Many of us think about this Pesach time, but when I looked at a Pesach time, I wrote it down to talk about a Purim time. It's an interesting thing. The Chassam Sofer, many people discuss this on Challah B'Liel HaSeder. We spoke before Pesach, we gave a shiur about Challah B'Liel HaSeder and all the differences that we find between, there are many discrepancies between Challah B'Liel HaSeder and Challah in the rest of the year. So the Chassam Sofer says over here, if we all know the famous Gemara Megillah Yudalu, the Gemara says that Kriyas HaZui Hilela, right? The Kriyas Megillah on Purim is considered like Challah. That's why it's equal. It's like the Megillah. The Gemara learns it out from a Kal V'Chomer. Why? Because if on Pesach we say Hallel, we were saved me avdus lecheirus. So for sure, me misa lechayim. On Purim, when we were almost lahashmi laharag laabed, and we were saved. So for sure, we have a chiyuv to say Hallel. So nu, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? And we never think of that. Why do we not say Hallel? So says the Gemara. But effectively, by saying the Megillah, we are being mekayim our chiyuv of Hallel. So frektach sam sofer. I don't understand. The Gemara says over here on Chaf Aleph, that you're allowed to read Mikra Megillah Bein Omer Bein Yoshev. Yet, the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Tavchav Beis that by Hallel, one has to stand when he says Hallel. Bedavka, he has to stand. So the Gemara of the Shulchan Aruch says two Makaros, either because it says Ha'om de Ben Veis Hashem, or because a person is being made Edus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But either way, if that is the case, so Frakta Sam Sefer in the Tshuvas, why is it that we sit for Mikra Megillah if really the Mikra Megillah is equated with the Hallel? So, just taking the idea that we all answer this kasha by Pesach, right? Everyone asks the kasha by Leil HaSeder. How do we sit for Hallel Leil HaSeder? Don't we know that a person is supposed to stand for Hallel? So many people like to offer the Teretz based on the Ran in Pesachim, where the Ran writes that the Hallel B'Leil HaSeder, that's not the regular Hallel that we have, which Yontiv is Mechayivin. There's one thing that Hallel, we all have to say, Midin Hayom. Right, but there's a Hallel Shoshira, like the Ran says. There's a Hallel B'Shas HaNes. There's a Hallel that a person is supposed to say.
Perukim also.
Right.
It's divided up in Hallel by Seder.
Right.
So it's not the true Hallel.
Right, so there are a bunch of differences that we find by Hallel El HaSeder and Hallel from the rest of the year. Now, what's the main, what's the crux of the difference? So they point out that the Ran says, like you mentioned, the Ran says that Hallel B'Leil HaSeder is Begeder Shira. It's because it's Hallel Al HaNeis, Hallel Al HaYeshua. We're so happy for the Neis that actually happened at that point in time. It's not the Hallel that Yontiv is Mechayev us in. That we're going to say in the morning. And that we have to follow the regular rules. So based on that, possibly the idea over here to answer some surface kasha would be the same. The reason why we say Hallel Mikra Megillah on Purim is because the Gemara says a Kavachomer from Pesach. So what's a Kavachomer from Pesach? The same way Pesach we were saved me'avdus l'cheirus, so too on Purim when we were saved in Misa l'chaim, we also have to recite Hallel. No, which Hallel is that referring to? That's referring to the Hallel B'Leil HaSeder. That's referring to the Hallel that we recite on the Yeshua. So l'chaira, that would follow, that would answer some service kasha. The same way we sit over there, and over here we're learning out from there, so we're allowed to sit by Mikra Megillah as well, and l'chaira the some service kasha is Miyushim. I thought that was a...
regular Hallel following morning.
You should say a regular Hallel when on Purim?
The morning, yes.
In why?
The same way Pesach night, you say Pesach night Shira, and then the next morning you say Hallel.
But there's other reasons.
No. So by Pesach, the reason why we say in the morning is because the Yontiv is Mechayiv. Over here, this is...
Why isn't Purim Mechayiv then?
Why isn't Purim Mechayiv? It's not a real Yontiv. Purim is not a Moed like all the other Yom Tovim. So you're saying, why is Hanukkah Mechayiv? What?
I'm glad you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you gotta think about it. Why don't we say Hallel? But the Gemara asked this kasha in conceptually. The Gemara asked that kasha. Why is that we don't say Hallel? The Gemara answers: we do say Hallel. You do say the Mikra Megillah that is considered like the Hallel.
It's more than Shira.
Right. Okay. So that I thought was a very interesting way to look at our Mikra Megillah that we're going to be doing this week. You think about it in the context of the Gemara, it seems that this is Mamisha Hallel Al HaYeshua, the same way we have Pesach night, that we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Yeshua, so do we have on Purim, we're thanking the Rabbanu Shalom for the Yeshua, Mimisa L'chaim. Yeah. So we're going to, great question, we're going to get to that in, thank you, we're going to get to that in a minute, that was the next point. So what would you say? Let's say we have a shul, and we're trying to figure out who should be the Baal Kori. Now, every single year we have the same person laid. Now, unfortunately, the person is old, and he can no longer walk, he can no longer stand. He comes into shul in a wheelchair. So what would you say? Should the tzibur try to find a different Baal Kori? Or should we assume, no, this person is the best Baal Kori that we have. Even though he's going to show up in a wheelchair, that should be okay. Now, on face value, you would say, the Gemara just said you're allowed to do Mikra Megillah, even sitting. So we'll get to that in a minute. And what would you say by a Baal Kori for during the year, for Kriyas HaTorah? Let's say the best Baal Kori is now in a wheelchair, for whatever reason.
His standing?
What?
The wheelchair is his standing.
Right.
Oh, you're saying a wheelchair is his standing.
But it's for him. It's
well, Lamaisa, he's sitting. I think if he's using crutches, you can say he's standing. No? I mean, we'll talk about that in a minute. But bottom line, he's sitting down. You can't say he's standing.
The question is So let's
break this down and talk about each case specifically. And what happens when you have a chazan? The same question arises when you have a chazan. And the chazan is the best Baal Tefillah, but now the chazan is no longer able to stand. He comes in a wheelchair. Are we allowed to have him be chosen as the chazan for our tefillahs or not? So let's look at each case on itself. When it comes to Hilchos Tefillah, there's a very special significance that's given to the chazan to davening ba'amida. Now that is shows up in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Tefillah exactly where it's supposed to be. Siman Sadi Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch tells us the following, that a person who, for whatever reason, I go to work and I have to daven on the train be yeshiva, right? Many of us have that situation. We find ourselves davening, sitting down. Surprisingly, the Shulchan Aruch says, that is considered so much b'di'eved that later on, if I have more time, I'm going to have to go back and daven again. That is the psak in Shulchan Aruch.
What?
Oh, so it's surprising. On a plane, a person davens sitting down on a plane, because he can't stand up, he can't get in everyone's way. Says the Shulchan Aruch, we'll get to that in a minute, says the Shulchan Aruch, if he has time later, he has to go back and daven again. Sounds very surprising, because who does that? So if you look on the spot in Shulchan Aruch, right there the Mishnah Berurah points out that the Haskamas Rav HaAchronim is not like the Psak in the Shulchan Aruch, and we assume that a person is allowed to rely on the Shmona Esrei that he davened sitting down, and although it's very much b'di'eved, we assume that the person would not have to go back and daven again. But it's just interesting to note that the Shulchan Aruch himself does say, in such a case, you were only Yotze Tefillah b'di'eved, you must go back and daven again. That, I'm just bringing this, out.
By time, you meant by what? The same time
that
there's
Zman
Tefillah, or 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
I mean, that's not...
I mean, when he comes Shabbos, right?
That's, yeah.
There's Zman Tefillah of Shabbos until 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Does he have only till 11, or if he has time at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he can
do it? 2 o'clock is no longer there's Zman Tefillah, that's Tashlumin.
Well, it's, okay, whatever it is.
Well, he's asking if the plane's landing in the morning and he can sit down
at the same time
on the plane, or if it lands at 11 o'clock in the morning, he's still down.
Uh-huh.
So which is better? That's a
nonsense.
I would assume the Zman Tefillah is better.
Yeah, when you say you have time, you need to have time to do the mitzvah. The time
yeah, in a timely fashion, not with Tashlumen.
11 o'clock is good there.
You yeah. Don't have time. You land 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so you're going to put down chakras again.
Uh-huh.
How can be Yaitzi B'di'eved and daven over again?
Oh.
How can I do that?
So you're hitting a very, very important issue. Did everyone hear that, Kasha? Reb Chaim wants to know, how can you be Yaitzi B'di'eved and then later on go back and be Mekayim the Mitzvah L'chatchila? Right? If I'm Yaitzi B'di'eved sitting down, then you're going to tell me later on when I have more time I should stand up and do it again. Very timely, Kasha, because what happens by Mikra Megillah? The following. Right? Let's assume you're correct. Once I was Mekayim and Mitzvah B'di'eved, I'm Yotze, right? What does the Gemara tell us in Hilchos, in Meseches Megillah? What's the din? If I read most of the Megillah from a klaf, and part of the Megillah I read Baal Peh, or in fact, not only Baal Peh, I read it from a Chumash, what's the din? Am I Yotze or am I not Yotze? What's the din? I hear most of the Megillah from the Baal Korah, reading from a klaf. I miss some of the words, so I read along in a Chumash. What's the halacha? I'm Yotze. Am I Yotze L'chatchila B'di'eved? B'di'eved. Why? Because you're supposed to listen to every word from the klaf. Okay, but many of us miss words. Okay, so we have to read along. We're only Yotze B'di'eved. So what happens? We get to the end of the Megillah. We all have the minhag to say, to recite the last pasuk. Not everyone in the shul has a klaf. Correct? So most of us are reading that last pasuk from a chumash. So assuming your argument is correct. So let's first bring out the point to appreciate.
The mitzvah is shomea. The mitzvah is to hear, not to read it. The mitzvah in Megillah is shomea.
Why?
For women, it's shomea. For men, it's mitzvah.
We make a bracha al mikra Megillah. I would assume we have a mitzvah to read the Megillah, right? So we're being yotze with shomea ka'ona. It's as if we're saying it. But if we're going to read the last pasuk from the text, from the Chumash, not everyone has a klap, so anyone ever think about this? What happens? Oh, so 1 second. So just hold on. Let's slow down. So now I read the last pasuk inside of my Chumash. So now what happens? Is my mitzvah still going or it's over? I finished my mitzvah, right? I finished the Mikra Megillah. I laid the last pasuk. That means every single person in Klal Yisrael who uses a Chumash that's from a text and not from a klaf, what does it mean? It means I'm Yotze B'di'eved every single year. It's a Pella. If you're correct. If you're correct.
Yeah, but he's not saying another
problem. He's what?
Repeating
Brach, Shmona Esrei is going to
be saying
new
brachas.
Again, Shmona Esrei.
You're sitting and said the Shmona Esrei. You're Yotze B'di'eved, you're making about 18 other brachas.
Uh-huh. Oh, you weren't asking, you were just asking in this case, how can you go back and do the Chatchila? Ah, so there's a broader question, which is a lot, comes up, I remember before Reichman used to like to say that it's a three-generational Chiddush. It's the Beis Halevi, Reb Chaim, and the Brisker Rav all had the same idea that once a person is Mekayim and Mitzvah B'di'eved, he can no longer go back again and do it lechatchila. Because once he's mekayim the mitzvah is over. You can't go back and add on the hiddur mitzvah or the lechatchila afterward. They have it in different contexts. For example, I think they say in the name of Reb Chaim, if a person has a toss-up between two esrogim, one esrog is for sure kosher, right? But he's not sure. It's for sure kosher, and it's not so mehuder. On the other hand, I could take another esrog, which is mamish, the most beautiful esrog in the world, but I'm not sure if it's a kosher esrog or not. For example, I have a suffik murkav. I'm not sure if it's a lemon or it's an esrog. I'm not sure if it's a lemon or it's an esrog, but it's the most beautiful lemon esrog in the world. So which one should I take first? I'm going to make my bracha on sukkahs. Almatilas lula. So which one should I take? On the one hand, I should take the one that's vadei kosher, this way I'm for sure going to be mekayim mitzvah, even though it's not so mehuder. On the other hand, maybe I should take the one that's more mehuder, because...
Then you have a suffix,
right? So what would you say? So min asvar, what would you say? You would say, one second. You would say, one second.
It's a suffix bracha.
No, you can use both.
What do you mean? Hinder is only. Hinder is only. It's not the kima mitzvah. The kima mitzvah is to use an esrog. Hinder is an extra thing.
Exactly.
But not on
Hanukkah.
So Hanukkah also, that's where the brisker Rav talks about it.
It's not the same.
So that's what Reb Chaim suggested. Reb Chaim said, your svar is correct, that I would have said, simply, take the most kosher first, make sure that my bracha really made sense, I'm making it on a mitzvah that's for sure in front of me, and then, later on, you can maybe shake the other one. Said Reb Chaim, no. Because once I'm a kaima mitzvah, if I'm a kaima b'diyevet, mitzvah's over. There's no such thing as going back later and adding on a tosefes lechatchila afterward. Either I was mekayim mitzvah with a lechatchila, with a hiddur, or the mitzvah is over. So it says Reb Chaim, he suggests the following. If a person is faced with this toss-up, he should rather take the more mehuder, suffik murkav first, make the bracha. Take the esrog that's more mehuder and suffik, whether it's kosher or not, because this way, if it's really kosher, he'll have the hiddur mitzvah as well. And then, after he's done, then he should take the other one, because in case he wasn't yotze, then he should actually shake an esrog. What?
Mm-hmm.
No, you'll make one bracha.
Make one bracha.
You make one bracha. But he's asking. Yeah, but I think he's raising a strong argument that it could be a real hefsek. Reb Chaim's suggestion has what to think about. If he. What? You can't hold them both together. That's going to be a chatzitza. Anyway, so that's with your point. It's not such a simple thing. It's a very important point you're raising. Should a person, is he able to go back later and make up a lechatchila after he was already mekayim a mitzvah, b'diavad or not? Okay, so back to where we're holding here. What?
That's a lot.
I don't know.
To
what?
It's not
me. I'll tell you that much. Okay. So here we have, again, we were discussing what do you do when it comes to the Baal Kore, or the person who we want him to lay in during the year, or for the person who we want to lay in Megillas Esther, or for a chazan, what's the halacha? Should we rather look for a person who's not using a wheelchair and someone who can actually stand on his own 2 feet, or should we assume that it's good enough to have the person in the wheelchair? So here, the Paiskim bring, I saw in Hilchas Tefillah, someone points out to look at the Sefer Hasidim. So I looked it up online yesterday, and he writes as follows. Zaken Echad Shai Ragalis Valbi Yom Kippurim. There was a certain individual who used to daven every year on Yom Kippur for the Amud. Shana Achas Lo Yachal Amud. One year this person couldn't stand anymore. He came to shul in a wheelchair. So the Sefer Chassidim writes, Amru Miktsasam, half the shul said, Kivin Shein Lana Kayotza B'Zad, this guy is the biggest tzaddik, the biggest person, the greatest Baal Tefillah, everything, so let's use him. He's in a wheelchair, okay, so we'll deal with it. Mutav Shi Yisbal B'Yeshiva, Amru Azkenim, so the Zakenim of the Chachamim of the shul said, no, Kivin Shein Yachal Amod, since he can't stand and he's sitting in a wheelchair, Yisbal Al Acher. We would rather give up on all the tzidkas and all the good Baal Tefillah in order to have a Baal Tefillah who can actually stand on his own 2 feet and won't have to sit. That's what the Sefer Chassidim came out. My father just told me yesterday that, if anyone wants to know why my father is here, he just got off the plane a few minutes ago from England. So I had sent part of this yesterday, and the response was that Rav Schwab apparently used to daven every year Ne'ilah in Breuers for the Amud. And then when he got old, so he was no longer able to daven Ne'ilah for the Amud anymore. So the Balabatim felt that they very much wanted Rav Schwab to still daven for the Amud for Ne'ilah, even though he couldn't stand. So what was it then? So they sent the Shaila to Rav Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman said, like this Sefer Hasidim, I don't know if he quoted it or not, but he said the same maskana, that it's more proper to have a chazan who can actually stand on his own 2 feet, even though Rav Schwab is the biggest tzaddik in the community, and even though he's the best bat tefillah who everyone wanted more than anybody else, still it's not proper to have him daven, and we would rather get someone who can actually stand on his own. So what's the halacha when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah? So if you look over there in the Gemara Megillah Daf Chaf Aleph, if the Gemara says that by Mikra Megillah, we just said that one is allowed to lay in the Megillah either by Amida or by Yeshiva. However, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, the Gemara learns out from a pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu, Va'ata Po Amodi Madi. The Gemara learns out that a person must stand when he's leaning from the Kriyas HaTorah. So, we would probably assume that the same way by Hilchos Tefillah, Rav Shlomo Zalman made this psak, the Sefer Chassidim says this, that the post can quote over there in Hilchos Tefillah, we should try as much as we can to have a person who is able to stand. So the same would apply, it would seem, the same would probably apply by Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. It's not proper to have a Bal Koreh who is not able to stand. Now, what's the story? Someone mentioned before, what's the story by a Bal Koreh on Megillas Esther? Now, you mentioned, what do you mean? I'm able to sit when I lay in the Megillah. So what's the whole discussion at all? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, it's a very good question, because the Shulchan Aruch says, I forgot to put it on here, Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Tav Reish Tzadi, which is where all of Hilchos Megillah is found, that Lechatchila, the person who is the Bal Koreh in the Shul, he should lain standing up, Mipnei Kavod HaTzibur. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. It's not respectful to the Tzibur that the person who is laning should sit while he lanes. So even though the Gemara tells us that everyone's allowed to sit for Mikra Megillah, that's everyone excluding the Bal Koreh. The Bal Koreh himself, more proper is that he should stand.
So therefore, if he's laying for women, except that he doesn't have to stand.
Because they're not a Tzibur.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Or to an individual, whatever the circumstance may be.
Okay, very good. Very good.
Is that true for all the Megillahs?
For all the Megillahs. I mean, over here, I think over here, there's a much more there's a much more grounded takana to lay Megillas Esther than by the other Megillas.
About how they do here with Megillah, that you read from the sitter and sitting down. But let's say next to Shrova, you're reading from the cloth.
You make a bracha on it.
And you make a bracha on it.
It's a minute. It's not.
I don't know.
It's still a minute.
I don't know. But be it as it may, over here, the Shulchan Aruch says that the Bal Koreh for Megillas Esther should make an effort to stand as much as he can, mipnei kavadat tzibur. So what's the halacha here? Over here, the only reason why the Bal Koreh is standing is mishum kavadat tzibur. So what if the tzibur decides, we're mochel on our kavod? We like this Bal Koreh so much, and we think he's better than anyone else in the shul, so we'll take it. So that's what we'll discuss. Can a tzibur be mochel on their kavod? As opposed to some of the other halachas, let's say, take for example what we just spoke about by Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. Over there, the Gemara learns from a pasuk, Va'ata Po Amodi Madi. It sounds like it's a din unrelated to the tzibur. It's a din that a person has to stand when he's leaning from a Sefer Torah. Over here, the Shulchan Aruch says, the whole halacha is only because of Kavadat Tzibur. So what's the din? Can the tzibur be mochel on their kavod? It's not so clear. Let's look at a couple other halachas in Shulchan Aruch where we find that the impetus of the halacha was Mishum Kavadat Tzibur. Let's see what the Achronim say in those cases with regard to the Tzibur being mochel on their kavod. So example number one is the following. In Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, it says as follows. Kuf Mem Gimel Sif Beis. Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Im Kasvu Kol Chumash Levado Afila Beglila Kesefer Torah. Let's say we decide, instead of having a Sefer Torah that's going to have all Chamisha Chumash Torah, we decide we'll make a separate Chumash for Bereishis, separate one for Shemos, we'll make more money. We'll have 5 different people donating Sefer Torah. Right? Instead of having one large Sefer Torah, we'll have each Sefer on its own. So this Shabbos, we're going to take out our Sefer Torah for Shmos, and we're going to lane just from the Chumash Shmos. What is the halacha in that case? Says the Shulchan Aruch, one is not allowed to have such a Sefer Torah. You have to lane from a full Sefer Torah that has all 5 Sfarim. Why? Because of Kavod HaTzibur. And what's bizayin atzibur? What's not kavod atzibur here? So the Shaar Tzion there points out from the Levush that it's embarrassing. Every other shul has one nice fancy Sefer Torah that has all the Chamisha Chumshe Torah. Our poor shul can't handle one Sefer Torah. Our poor shul isn't able to buy, to collect the funds, to have one big nice Sefer Torah written. So here we have to get donations for this, for that. Each person chipped in to have one little Sefer. So,
one ois is missing from the Sefer Torah, it's possible.
Very good point. So the Rama points out, even if one ois is missing from a Sefer Torah, so what's going on? So Rama says, you see from the Gemara, he proves from the Gemara Gittin, you see from the Gemara that really if I have a Sefer Torah with just one Sefer in it, that's good enough. If I have a Sefer Torah that's just Sefer Shmos, and I take that out to Shabbos Tulein, really I'm Yotze the Kriya, it's good enough. If it's missing one letter, Sefer Torah is Pasul. So the Rama says the following. Let's say I have a Chamisha Chumshe Torah, like a regular Sefer Torah like we have. I have everything that I'm supposed to have. And there's a letter missing down deep in Devarim. Okay? There's a letter missing down in Devarim. And now we're learning Parshat Tzavet. Says the Rama. The Rama says this, not agreed upon by everyone. Mishnah Berurah there jumps on him. But the Rama himself assumes that we would be allowed to lane from such a Sefer Torah. This Shabbos Parshat Tzavet. Why? Because we have a full Sefer Shmos. We have a full Sefer Shmos. That's what the Rama paskins. The Mishnah Berurah quotes many Achronim that don't like it. But the Rama himself says, exactly addressing your point, the Rama himself says, you see from here that it's really considered a Kashra Sefer Torah just if I have one Sefer alone. Just if I have the whole Sefer Shmos, that is already considered good enough. And missing one Os would mean, if it's missing an Os in Shmos itself. So that's one case where we have Kavadat Tzibur, where also you have to think about, the Bir Halacha there discusses, what is the Halacha if the Tzibur decides we're ready to be Mochel because this is the only Sefer Torah we have. We only have a Sefer Torah that's Shmos alone and nothing else. So does the Tzibur have a right to be Mochel on their Kavod? Take a third example, Nilchus Tfilah and Simen Nun Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch says, you're only supposed to take a Shliach Tzibur who has a beard. Right? So that's Shulchan Aruch tells us a whole bunch of qualifications to be a Shliach Tzibur. Says the Mishnah Berurah, says the Shulchan Aruch, why? Because it's not Kavod Tzibur. You're going to throw up some young guy to down for the Amud who doesn't even have a beard. He's not even a mature person. That's not right. So the Mishnah Berurah over there discusses that the Achronim talk about, what if the Tzibur decides this person is the best Bal Tefillah, and we're not interested in the specification of having a beard. We don't care that he's not mature. We care that he has a nice voice and he's able to actually lead the Tzibur in a more beautiful way than anyone else can. So Mishnah Berurah over there discusses, should we assume that that would be able to outweigh the consideration that the Shulchan Aruch talks about. So you have to put all these into perspective and figure out in each individual case. It would make a tremendous nafkamina, halacha lamaisa, not only over here for the, I don't know how often it happens that you have a person in a wheelchair. The reason I'm mentioning this is because in our times we have a lot of people who are saying that women should lane Megillah, right? A woman should be the balkore for the Megillah for the Tzibur. Right? So what's wrong with that? So what's wrong with that? So in Shulchan Aruch it says, if we put up a woman to lane for the whole shul, it's not Kavadat Tzibur. That's what it says. It's not Kavadat Tzibur. So what if we decide... Okay.
So it's, you know...
How can you even ask the question in the first place?
It's a different ball game.
Mm-hmm. I mean...
It's a whole different ball game.
Okay, so he's... What? Right. Okay, this is a very advanced Talmud.
And yet there's an Indian of they're not
Chayavas, right?
No, so I mean it's there's other Indianim involved there.
Right. Okay, so we have to think about that point, but just if you just take the strict words of Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah and Siman Taf Reish Pei Tes points out that even though a woman would be able to light the Hanukkah menorah for everybody else and be motzi them, when it comes to Mikra Megillah, it's not Kavod Tzibur. No. So if you hold in all these cases that a Tzibur can be mochel on their Kavod, I'm not saying they can. It's a discussion in each individual case. You have to think about each takana on its own. Should the Tzibur have the right to be mochel or not? You have to look at the foundations of each takana and see, was this just the impetus for the takana? Or was this the whole din itself that Kavod Tzibur mandates us to do X, Y, and Z? It would come out of Big Nafkamina, would a woman be allowed to lane Megillah for the Tzibur or not? Does the Tzibur have the right to be mochel under Kavod? Number one, to have a Balkore who sits. Number two, to have a woman lane for us. Number three, to have a Shliach Tzibur who is not an older person, who's a youngster who doesn't have a beard. All these types of cases all hinge on the fact that it's kavod hatzibur, and it's something to think about in each individual case.
How are you defining kavod hatzibur?
What do you mean?
Just define it for me. I don't know. Does it have anything to do with the Ribono Shel Olam? Am I being is it his kavod too, part of the kavod hatzibur? I'm not sure what you think, Michael. What do you mean, Michael, exactly?
So, I mean, if you read by
the strength of
right, if you read the Gemara by Kriyas HaTorah, it seems that's a din that's irrespective of the tzibur. That's a din that one has to stand by. Tapa Modi Madi says that a person has to stand. Sounds like it has nothing to do with kavod hatzibur.
You can say it's kavod HaTorah. In other words, the Torah can be Michael.
Right.
Can be Michael. The Torah can be Michael. You can try and cover the Torah.
Right.
But here, or at least some of these other cases, it's kavod hatzibur. Me, I can be Michael. My kavod.
Right.
So we all can be machal chabad.
Right. So I see we ran out of. Right.
It's only Talmud Chacham Taka who is machal chabad.
Yeah.
Because he earned it himself.
Okay.
And then he can be machal chabad. But a melech can be machal chabad.
Right. Because he's representing something greater than himself.
It was given to him.
Right.
If you achieved it yourself, then you could be machal.
Okay. So what do you? So how do you want to apply that here?
Therefore, whether a tzibur, I don't know, is it closer to a Talmud Chacham or is it closer to a melech?
Is it a corporate form or is it an individual form?
Mm-hmm. Important issues to think about. But the point, just one second, the point you raised about by Kriyas HaTorah being Kavod HaTorah, so in fact in Shulchan Aruch, I see we ran out of time, but the Shulchan Aruch there discusses, what about leaning? Person's supposed to stand, but what about bending over? What about leaning on the shtender or leaning on the bima when he's leaning? So Shulchan Aruch says, by Kriyas HaTorah, you're not even allowed to lean. You're not even allowed to lean. You have to stand up straight. Says the Magen Avraham, why? Why are we so serious? Magen Avraham asks the stira between here and Hilchos Eidus. There are Masas over there. Even though the Eidim have to stand while they're giving the Eidus, still they're allowed to lean on a table while they're doing it. What's the difference? Says the Magen Avraham, the difference is that over here, we have to show a certain aspect of Kavod HaTorah when we're leaning from the Sefer Torah. So Magen Avraham over there says, that's why the Shulchan Aruch is more machmer, and he says, by Kriyas HaTorah, you're not even allowed to lean on anything. When it comes to other halachas, there's what to talk about, whether one is allowed to lean, but by Kriyas HaTorah itself, there is that element of Kavod HaTorah, and a person would have to be more careful by Kriyas HaTorah than by other things. Yeah.
One question. If a person who's getting Aliyah of being well checked, why? In theory, he should be laying.
He's saying he's Shemaka Ona. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you do see.
So, right. So, first of all,
it's
I mean,
different than anybody else sitting in the we're all Shemaka Ona.
So you're saying we should all be standing?
We all have to stand, or we can sit, and he can sit.
Mm-hmm.
Laning may be closer to Limura. I know the Rav held that the Ikkar standing, it had to do with the Bracha, the original Bracha, because that's it's Kaddish Kedusha and Bracha is
Kaddish Kedusha.
He was very machbid on it. In fact, the boys, I remember my time, they asked him, why he didn't get up, Taki? He says, I have a bad back, so I have trouble. Otherwise, he says, I Taki should get up.
So what do you think of that, Taina? Imanav Shah?
Who's that?
It's the most proper, that everyone should stand by laning?
Well, have it just a problem. Have it just a problem.
The one who gets that Leah is considered as if he's laning. It's considered as if he's the Valkyrie.
Right.
So he should stand.
Right.
Not late.
Right. So what happens when you have a person in the shul is in a wheelchair? So I would assume, b'diavad we paskin by Kriyas HaTorah, if a person laying by yeshiva, he is yotze. We paskin, he is yotze. So I would say, this is b'diavad. If 5 years are going to go by and he never gets an aliyah, that's shas al chak b'diavad dami. That's b'diavad, that the person's never ever going to have an aliyah in the shul. I don't think that's fair to him either. So I think in such a case, we would have the right to assume. Right, so that's Shas HaTaka B'Di'evit. That's like a B'Di'evit. And we paskin in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. If a person sits B'Di'evit when he's supposed to be standing, we paskin that he is Yotze. That's what I would assume. Really?
I'm just wondering about this story about the Ela.
Yeah.
Is that a Gemara Din Ela? You have to stand by Gemara Din.
You're saying aside from the fact that standing by tefillah. Okay, so I see we went over time, but we will. Everyone could look on their own. A nice little bar in the parsha. What? We're going to have a minion from Ireland if people didn't daven.